This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities taking a look at the wheat markets for Friday, October 15th. Well, yesterday we did recover in the wheat market, getting a good at least half of the sell-off back that we saw on Wednesday. So Wednesday appears to be an outlier. We know that there was quite a bit of hedge fund selling. So my guess is that hedge fund had to liquidate a bunch of positions. But either way, it was certainly something that wasn't quite in line with what the wheat market's been doing, especially following an outside day on a crop report day. But nevertheless, we saw the big push down on Wednesday. We snapped back on Thursday, and then Friday morning we're recovering even more. We've regained all of the losses from the Wednesday sell-off. Some of the news yesterday was that China was in the market buying French wheat, which is unusual, but they were buying as many as 5 or 6 cargoes of it. So it's a pretty big jump in world demand, kind of unexpected. That was pushing EU prices higher, basically coming out of Paris, and that's going to drive world prices higher as well. So we see the world market continuing to push higher, probably going to get another surge this week after following several weeks in a row of the market just continually moving higher. The U.S. has definitely been a drag. We had the week where we were down a little bit, and that's brought us very close, basically to par with where the rest of the world is. So it's an impressive run in wheat, considering too that you've got the Southern Hemisphere harvest really starting to gear up here. My feeling was that we would see our seasonal highs in mid-October, and then start to stabilize or maybe drift a little bit lower during the Southern Hemisphere harvest. What's clear is that world demand is huge, and breaks in the market are absorbed fairly quickly. We see some technical selling, but from a fundamental perspective, the buyers have been a bit on the short bought side heading into this fourth quarter. Egypt canceled a tender earlier this week because they didn't like the price. That was part of the pressure on Wednesday. Well, the price sure didn't get any better by the end of the week. And so, you know, they're going to have to step up here. And it's really just been a matter of a combination of demand that has been very strong and continuing to improve at a time when world supplies have dropped significantly. And that started with the Northern Plains and Canadian Prairies drought, and that affected primarily spring wheat, but some of the winter wheat in the Northern Plains. And then, of course, with the Russian harvest being far less than what was expected, all of a sudden world supplies, in particular of high-quality milling wheat, have dropped significantly. And stocks-to-use ratios are at levels that we haven't seen in a good 8 years. The stocks-to-use ratio for our hard red winter wheat is estimated at the lowest it's been since 07-08. And we zero in on hard red winter wheat because so much of it was fed right off the combines this summer, and there's just not that much left for the export market. Spring wheat, of course, had a disastrous production season, so there's not that much left there either. And we're not going to import much from Canada because they were in the same boat. So spring wheat stocks, very, very tight, and we see that with the Minneapolis futures, which is a small market, you know, and it has been able to withstand the pressure from Chicago and Kansas City, the pressure from corn and soybeans. It just does its own thing. It stabilizes when the other markets are weak, but it just continues to plow higher even when you get the other markets flat or just barely moving higher. Minneapolis is clearly, when you look at the charts, it just punches in a new contract high almost every day, and I don't see that backing off. We're not going to be able to replenish supply at the earliest until next August. That's a long way off. You got to fight for acres. The Northern Plains, in particular, you zero in on North Dakota, but it stretches into western Minnesota, northern South Dakota, and then, of course, up into the Canadian prairies, where there's lots of options for farmers to plant other crops, and pretty much all of them will be profitable. So this is why I keep coming back to this battle for acres next spring. We saw it this past spring with corn and soybeans. Big moves up in the spring as they punched it out for acres. Well, spring wheat is going to be part of that mix. Barley, oats, canola, all of these crops will have their say. They're all tight supplies. They all need to have good production. And so it's, you know, and God help us if it's a dry spring. We are getting some very nice moisture across the northern plains. In particular, pretty much all of North Dakota, according to the maps, have had a good soaking rain. And that stretches just barely into eastern Montana. And of course, the northern Midwest has had some rains here recently as well. So, you know, we're probably going to get some nice recharging of the profile before you head into winter, which is huge because you're not going to lose it to evaporation. But it's still going to need to have decent production next spring. But this will definitely help get the crops off to a good start. And I think that moisture will be captured in the soil, and we're not going to lose it to evaporation. So it'll work its way down, but it, for the most part, would be available to producers and to the crops, at least at the beginning of spring. Export sales this morning were 567,000 tons for wheat. That was above the high end of the range of estimates from 2 to 5. That's part of the support we're seeing here this morning. Corn export sales at 1.04 million tons. That was within the range. Soybeans at 1.1 million tons, also within the range. We got some harvest problems developing for corn here in the Midwest. The eastern Midwest has seen quite a bit of rain. We're starting to hear about corn toppling over, so clearly going to lose some yield there. And really, that was where the big yields were coming from to offset the losses from the western Midwest. So if you start to see some yield drag there, that just underpins the corn market. I think corn and beans both, you know, we're working our way into the tail end of harvest. We're still going to see some harvest pressure likely in the short term, but I think both of those markets are in the process of putting in their harvest lows. If you start to see some yield decline in corn, that obviously would be a supportive factor. I think ultimately corn is still somewhat in a bull market. Soybeans probably not so much, but at least corn will stabilize, maybe just move flat. But that will help to underpin wheat. And if wheat continues to push higher, that will help to support the corn market as well. We're also seeing some harvest issues with corn harvest in the Ukraine. A lot of rain there is stalling harvest progress. Farmers really don't want to put it in the bin and have to dry it down because of very expensive natural gas prices. So they're just leaving it in the field, and that's putting a squeeze on the exporter, which have contracts to fill, so they're calling for demurrage. So we're seeing quite a bit of disruption to the corn exports coming out of Ukraine. So for wheat, as we move forward, you know, clearly I'm in a bullish mode here. I'm acknowledging that we might get some stalling out of prices with the southern hemisphere harvest, but I don't see that being a bearish development. What we saw earlier this week with the big push down and then the market immediately snaps back up tells me the buyers are there on the sidelines waiting to buy the breaks in wheat. And I think that will continue even with, you know, some pressure coming from harvest from Australia and Argentina. Kansas City has gained against Chicago significantly over these last couple of months, with the harvest lows in mid-June at 50 cents under, Kansas City under Chicago. Now we're 10 cents over. And I think that will just continue to work higher. We had a good soft red crop. We didn't have that great of a hard red crop. And again, much of the hard red wheat went directly to feedlots right off the combine in the southern and central plains. That significantly reduced available export supply. So I think that with the big drop in Russian production too, and of course that's hard red winter wheat, the world now is kind of scrambling, looking for hard red, whether it's winter wheat or spring wheat. And those spreads will continue to push forward with them gaining against the soft red market. So it's a lot of dynamics going on here. The bull spreads are working. The inter market bull markets are working with KC over Chicago, Minneapolis over both of them. And I think that just outright the market will continue to work higher. Still targeting early May. That's a normal window. We typically see highs in early February as well. Then we get a break and then we push higher as we get into the planting season. But I just think that there's a great deal of potential in this market, particularly as we move into the planting season. If you have any questions, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.